Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, some perks return to the Disneyland Resort hotels. There is a return date for the subs. A new photo service arrives.
Holiday entertainment announcements. The Sanderson sisters are back. We finish our talk with Kavehi and more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings, and be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of June 29th, 2022. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to Bryn W. for becoming an official weekly tier on our Patreon. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join.
We finally have some details about our D23 meetup, everybody. So for those of you who don't know, I'm sure we've talked about it, but we are going to the D23 Expo all 3 days and we'll cover it on the podcast. And
we're so excited.
We are going to have a weekly tier meetup at the Disneyland Hotel at the fireplace near Trader Sam's on Saturday, September 10th from 8 to 10 p.m. So the expo ends at 7. Give us time to get over there. We'll do 8 to 10. We can't stay too much longer because we've got parks panel in the morning. If you can stop by for any amount of time, please feel free. We're also at the expo the entire weekend, so if you do see us around, please say hi. We love seeing all you guys.
It's that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We begin our journey in Walt Disney World, where more characters are returning. Let's start with the character cavalcade in the Magic Kingdom. Encanto's Mirabel just joined the fun mini parade that already features Miguel from Coco, Nick and Judy from Zootopia, and Max Goof, Moana, and many other Disney stars. See Mirabel and the crew several times every day as they pop up around the park. Next up, on July 6th, Minnie Mouse will join Mickey in his meeting space in the Magic Kingdom's Town Square. Both of our mouse hosts will be decked out in their 50th anniversary iridescent gear. I only have another 9 months to use that term, so I'm going to use it whenever I can, okay? July 6th also marks the return of campfire sing-alongs at the Fort Wilderness Campground and Resort. These experiences are so much fun. Combine a large campfire with an appearance by Chip and Dale, s'mores, singing songs, and cap it all with a classic Disney film. Add that to the newly returned Hoop-Dee-Doo review, and you have yourself a fully functioning campground resort. Rolling with these changes, we arrive at July 17th with the return of the Star Wars launch bay at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Meet up with your pals Chewie, Darth Vader, BB-8, and more. More characters are popping up in the parks all the time now. Snow White and Peter Pan in Fantasyland, Pete's Silly Sideshow and Storybook Circus featuring the Great Goofini, and more. Donald's Dino Bash in Disney's Animal Kingdom. Even the toys will make their way back to Toy Story Land in the very near future. It's a great time for kids and adults who like to meet their favorite characters in the parks. Sadly, we are also seeing some closures at the parks. Foodie favorite Narcoossee's at the Grand Floridian is closing July 14th for extensive refurbishment. It looks like it will open up in 2023. To handle the load, Citrico's at the same resort will operate 7 days a week. The resort's most prestigious dining experience will reopen, but it looks to be pretty soon. Also on July 14th, the Disney Wish sets sail on its maiden voyage. The newest member of the Disney fleet pulled into port June 21st in anticipation of its christening on June 29th. After years of stories and concept art, the new experience is finally ready. Prepare yourself for new Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel experiences, including the last-minute addition of Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, to the lineup at sea. If we hop across the Atlantic, we can see a Disneyland Paris resort nearing its July 20th opening of its new Avengers campus. We don't have time to get into much of the details this week. This new land will outpace pace the California resorts land with additional dining options and a roller coaster. Stay tuned for more on that front. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Now let's get to the news.
Guests staying at a Disneyland Resort hotel have some perks returning. Starting August 8th, theme park early entry and package delivery will be back. Hotel guests will be able to access the park 30 minutes prior to general opening every day. No more back and forth with the early entry day. For the package delivery, guests can have purchases made in the parks delivered to their rooms the next day.
So I know it's kind of funny because I feel like we've had a lot of people ask if the magic morning times for the hotel guests had returned, and we had not heard anything, and then boom, this happened. So starting August 8th, so about towards the end of summer, I would say, because summer starts now and goes through the end of August, this will be available. The change that's really cool here is that it's every single day, both parks, half an hour early, so you can pick your park that you want to get into early and go. You don't have to be like, well, today is Disneyland, right, tomorrow's DCA. Right. So really
you
great.
Know, I've heard some, you know, some kind of back and forth on this, and I get both sides, but I think it's a nice cutoff. It's a nice balance, right? Because instead of saying, you know, like you were saying, wait, is today Disneyland or is today DCA? Especially add in that confusion of which park was having the early morning entry, in addition to making sure you have the correct reservations for the right parks. I think it's really nice to just say 30 minutes early, both parks every day, make it nice and simple. And on the flip side, staffing wise, 30 minutes earlier, I feel would probably be a little bit easier to do and to accommodate for the staff than maybe an hour flip flopping back and forth too. So I think even though, yes, it isn't the full hour, and of course we all want more time in our favorite place, Disneyland and DCA, I do think, you know, it, when you take a step back and think about it, 30 minutes probably makes a little bit more sense operational wise. But the biggest win, like you said, is eliminating the confusion.
Mm-hmm. Package delivery, I always thought was a great thing that you could have at Disney resort hotels where you buy stuff. Now, if you're not a resort guest, you can buy stuff and pick it up at the newsstand at the end of the night, that kind of thing. But this will deliver it actually to mm-hmm. your hotel. The only difference is they're saying the next day. So sure. If you buy something today, I mean, it may show up early, but they're guaranteeing like next day it'll show mm-hmm, up. So mm-hmm. keep that in mind.
We have not heard anything yet about Magic Hour, which was something that was available for people that bought multi-day tickets. Because it used to be, and I don't even remember what the magic thing was. Maybe it was, I don't remember if it was 3-day, 4-day, 5-day.
Sure.
However it was included. But there was a separate perk that ticketed guests that
didn't
weren't
we have confusion because like
the naming was very similar, so yeah. it was confusing. So we have not heard if that perk is coming back or not. Right now this is just a perk for hotel property guests.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to plus up a Disney resort hotel stay. I think they're trying to add perks and trying to encourage people to stay on property. Speaking of which, for guests staying at the Disneyland Resort hotels from July 1st through August 31st, some new fun is coming to the pool areas. Summer pool parties are coming. These pool parties take place for 30 minutes each day at all three of the resort hotels. Disney characters will be on hand at these parties to join in on the fun. Games like a water sponge relay and floaty toss will be available, along with high energy music.
This is so fun. I've been watching other people's trips to like Alani and all of the different fun things that they have, like these little party things. It looks like, I have not been to Alani, so I've not experienced it myself, but it looks like they kind of have these little party things going on there frequently. Of course, there was one video, it was the Disneyland nurse that I was watching, that Goofy was actually like partially in the pool. He had like big flippy floppy, like almost flipper looking shoes, and he was,
is that from the
splish splashing around
like when you go scuba diving or whatever?
Yeah, kind of like that. But he was like hopping around in like the very, very shallow. I mean, it was not even up to his ankles, very shallow water. And so you could like, quote unquote, play, you know, play in the pool with the Disney characters and that stuff. I thought that was so fun. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about we just had our public live stream this past week. And so for those of you that weren't able to attend live, it is available for you to rewatch on YouTube. But we were actually just talking about costumes for the characters. Mm-hmm. Think of all the fun costumes that they're going to, like, all their fun pool attire costumes that they get to have now, too.
I think it'd be so cool if they could figure out a way to get the characters into the pool. You know, that would be awesome.
I don't know. That sounds...
Well, I don't think it'll happen, like, but I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, that
it'd
sounds
be really
like cool. It'd be very difficult. Well, at long last, we have a date for the return of Finding Nemo's submarine voyage. July 25th is when the subs will be resurfacing from the extensive refurbishment that started when the parks closed back in 2020. When they return, some new additions will be visible to guests. Hank the Septopus from Finding Dory is now in the lagoon on one of the rocks. The water is crystal clear and the entire attraction has had a total refresh.
So a septopus is an octopus or octopus-like creature with only seven legs.
Oh, seven legs.
Yeah. So a couple things. One, I was really excited to see that the Disney Parks blog had posted a video of with the Imagineers and people working on this attraction and how proud they were of it.
And they're walking around in the drained lagoon.
Right?
I thought that was cool.
One of the cast members said how amazing it was to be able to be in there with it drained and work on this stuff. It looks gorgeous. By the way, I've seen pictures, not on this blog post, but that other people have posted because the walls have come down now.
Yeah.
And the lagoon looks, as it always does, very refreshing, and the water looks so crystal clear. It's amazing. Two things. One, Hank is supposed to be looking side-eye at the seagulls saying, mine, mine, mine. So if you watch the video, which we have linked in the show notes on the Disney Parks blog, they talk about that's kind of the look he has, is just, they're being loud and annoying.
I wonder if he's also, because one of his tentacles up, I wonder if he's like shaking his fist at him like,
shut
you
up.
Darn
yeah.
Seagulls.
Yeah.
Get off my porch.
The other thing that I'm sad about is Hank is not animated whatsoever.
Not that we have seen.
I don't think he's animated.
Well, and I don't know.
I feel like they would have talked about it on the video.
Well, maybe it's a surprise. I don't know what about him would be. Maybe if he's like moving his tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I'm wondering, right? The seagulls are mine, mine, mine. Is he going? Does he have any lines? I wonder if he's got. If
he
there's
might.
Any. Any audio to go with Hank. I'm also really excited because this is by no stretch of the imagination is the subs my favorite attraction by any means. But I do think I will go at least once because I'm curious as to how they refresh it. Just the lagoon area in this video that they posted on the Disney Parks blog, they said that they added just a ton more coral in that outdoor lagoon section. I can't remember how many miles.
It was like 2.1 miles.
Yeah, 2 miles or something of the different like seaweed stuff that kind of floats and all that. Anyways, so I'm really excited to see a very bright and colorful coral encrusted lagoon area. I think that'll be really cool. And I'm curious because they've done stuff inside with like projectors and they didn't really talk too much about enhancements that happened inside, but I feel like there's going to be a surprise for everyone on the first day that it opens that they didn't talk about. They were going to be like, whoa. Maybe not though.
Maybe. I'm just trying to see.
So I'm wondering, right, we've got Hank. I wonder if they've added any other Finding Dory show elements later in the attraction or if it's just Hank.
One of the things they said in the video that I thought was really interesting was they talked about how something we don't usually think about with this attraction is the original version was around when Walt was around.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a classic. And so they feel like they have to take certain care with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was an interesting take because a lot of people are like, oh, the subs are terrible and just kind of leave it at that. But there's a legacy there, just like we complain sometimes about the Autopia. But people love the Autopia. A new premium photo service is coming to Disneyland. The Capture Your Moment service includes a 20-minute session with a PhotoPass photographer with up to 8 guests. Children under 2 do not count toward the 8-guest limit. The photo taken during the set The photos taken during the session are not included in the price, and Genie Plus, PhotoPass Plus 1 day, or PhotoPass Plus 1 week service is required to get the photos. Photos include a view of Sleeping Beauty Castle. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is not offered as a location. They really wanted to make that clear in all the documentation. Guests will need to check in 15 minutes prior to their session at the Mad Hatter on Main Street.
Yeah, so it doesn't say what locations are for sure available. The castle's the only one that they actually mentioned. But it does say a chance to visit at least two different park photo locations. So I'm curious to get more information on this to see, you know, what the possibilities are with this. Because, you know, Tag had mentioned when this first came out, I was excited about this. And Tag's like, $99 for 20 minutes. You know, it is a lot of money for what feels like a short amount of time. However, recently coming out of having lots of photos taken of myself this year, I realized how many photos are possible to be
done. For your wedding, to be
yes.
clear.
Yeah, for the wedding. I've realized how many photos can be taken in 20 minutes. So to me, I'd be really interested to see what the locations are, because I think it'd be fun to have like a photo shoot on Main Street, a photo shoot in Fantasyland. Like, there's so many fun and cool locations. And we were talking about this too, because it didn't make sense to us at first. We're like, why would you buy a photo package but not include the photos? And then we realized, well, it's because, you know, if somebody has Genie Plus for the day, they already get photos included. So are you going to discount the photo session for, you know? I feel like it got more complicated because there's other reasons people may already have access to PhotoPass photos.
Sure.
So as goofy as it sounded, it also made sense because you didn't want people to be paying for photo access twice, and I think it'd be complicated to be doing refunds for some people too. So I'm really curious to see how this all goes. And you know, the other thing I hope too is we've encountered so many different PhotoPass photographers, some that you can tell are really like just genuinely love their job, have a blast, take some amazing photos, are very creative, and just like they're all in. And then there's other PhotoPass photographers. Maybe, granted, they're newer, they're still trying to get comfortable or whatever it is, but they're not as creative, or they kind of do the same five poses or, you know, whatever. So I'm really hoping that they're giving this opportunity to those really awesome standout cast members that like genuinely have a lot of fun. Cause I think that would be, I feel like your PhotoPass photographer would also really make this experience. I'm really thinking about the woman, we should have grabbed her name, the woman that took the photos for us, the Magic Key photos for Main Street Electrical Parade. She was so much fun for us to work with. Mm-hmm. And then when we were sitting and watching the parade, we were actually sitting near where the photos were happening. She had so much fun with this woman who is older woman by herself in an electronics convenience vehicle. She gave this, and there was nobody in line, so she just gave this woman this fun little like mini photo shoot all on her own. She was so kind and so encouraging, and they just were having a blast. So I don't want to be rude to any PhotoPass photographers, but I hope that
I think that they're going to pick the cream of the crop PhotoPass photographers,
I hope,
especially
that they have
for
those.
$99 for 20 minutes. I will never do this. I don't think 20 minutes is worth $99. I think special occasion-y kind of things like a wedding or something, sure, which is some of the things that they suggest as reasons
you would
do this.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
However, did you read in the bottom thing that they're like, they have some restrictions for outfits and stuff? Like, you can't,
yes.
Like obviously you can't wear your wedding dress.
Yes.
You can't wear that stuff. So for me, I'm never going to do this, especially since it also doesn't include the photos, which I think is kind of weird for $99 personally.
But again, it's because you could
and
already
then they're
have
like,
access.
Why don't you do two back-to-back? I'm like, oh, yes, $200. Let's
there
just do that.
There you go, Ulysses. Like, Dapper Day photo shoot.
Nope.
See, but just because it's not for you doesn't mean that other people don't want to do it.
That's true.
The thing that's also, I think, very smart of them to do this is anybody will see this. There's a desire to have fun photos taken in Disneyland.
Sure.
So much so that people will actually hire professional photographers to come into the parks.
Aren't
with
you not
them.
Supposed to be doing that, though?
I don't know if there's a rule against that or not. But, you know, like engagement photos. And people, there might not be a rule, but people, it happens. So I'm wondering if maybe, you know, it's happening anyway. So
sure.
Disney may as well be doing it. And it's a good way to utilize their photographers that are already there.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if if they're going to maybe stop allowing outside professional photographers to be doing photo shoots during the day. Maybe that's where this is going. I'm not sure. The other thing I can think of too is, I think this is a really great idea for like engagements too. So I don't know. Cause right now they'll work with you and they'll they'll take your engagement photos for free
as long as you pay for PhotoPass.
Yep. As long as you pay for PhotoPass when the big moment happens. So that's the other thing that I'm like, is that still going to be a thing? Cause right, engagements are planned, but they also need to feel spontaneous. So I'm there's a couple of things that I'm curious about with how it'll all shake out.
Again, like, I'm sorry I'm so negative about this.
You don't have to get your picture taken.
The other thing that I think about is, like, people have talked about how Disney's, like, trying to milk the most money out of everybody. And to me, this just feels like blatant money grab. $100 for 20 minutes.
So compared to if you're hiring an outside photographer to come in.
But who hires an outside photographer for Disneyland?
A lot of people. Next time we're there, we're gonna play a game, like bingo.
Okay.
And we're gonna see how many people we can.
See, I just want to tell you where I'm coming from. So I had a problem when James and I went to Disney World, and we had to buy. They didn't offer like a daily thing. We had to buy a whole week.
Crazy expensive.
And it was like two something for the whole week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if I want to pay two something for the whole week.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
But I was really on the fence about it, and that's how I feel. I'm like, $99 for 20 minutes, that is definitely not worth it for me.
I feel like you were all excited about those photos that you guys had.
Yeah, after the fact, but here's what I'll say. Here's a fully fleshed out idea. One, you can already get PhotoPass photos from photographers. Mm-hmm. So why pay the $99 if I can just go get PhotoPass photographers to take picture? Because I'm fine with those. I don't need 20 minutes or whatever. And for me, I don't think in 20 minutes I would get 100 what I perceive as a good value, $100 worth. Because how many pictures are you going to take in 20 minutes? I mean, I guess you could take a lot, but you're not going to move around that much in 20 minutes.
So, but if you pick an area like Main Street, think of all the different areas you could be going up and down on Main Street, or even Fantasyland. Like,
Galaxy's Edge would be a great place. Why is that separated?
I feel like part of the issue with Galaxy's Edge is just how busy it is.
Yeah. But I feel like there's a ton of places in a short amount of space that you could get all types of cool with your lightsaber, like at night, lightsabers and stuff.
I bet you it'll be coming.
I don't know.
I bet you it'll be coming.
We'll see. For anybody who's excited about this, I apologize. You can be excited about it. It's just definitely not my
thing. Tag is not going to take your spot in line.
Definitely not. I will not be booking one of these.
Well, it wasn't too long ago that we were halfway to Halloween, and now we're already halfway to the holidays. The Disney Parks blog announced that Believe in Holiday Magic fireworks at Disneyland and World of Color Season of Light at Disney California Adventure will be returning this holiday season. These, along with the traditional gingerbread house at the Grand Californian and a load of treats, will be available this year.
Of course there's going to be treats in the gingerbread house. Believe in Holiday Magic, really cool. World of Color Season of Light. I did see some speculation that it could be that they're waiting to announce non-nighttime spectacular things later, but the Christmas Fantasy Parade was not announced, mm-hmm. so there's speculation that will move behind the holiday paywall, if you will.
I don't know if it will move. There's two
or
ways.
Or are we getting a new parade?
There's
which
two
would be
ways
amazing.
You could look at this. It could be moving to just be after hours ticketed event party only offering, which is what the Frightfully Fun Parade is.
Mm-hmm.
Or yes, they could be looking at revamping, and they're not announcing it yet because they're not ready to announce.
Do you think so? Somebody, I don't remember where I saw this now, but there was speculation that after summer the electrical parade would be glowing away again.
Yep.
Do you think that Magic Happens will be back and they'll just run that through the holidays period? Because they've done that before.
I just feel so bad for Magic Happens. I hope
somebody else also I saw online said that they don't think Paint the Night's ever coming back, which made me very sad. Did you ever see Season of Light? I never saw it in person. Did you ever see an online video or anything no? So we'll have to check that out. I believe in Holiday Magic. I really enjoy.
Yeah. Nope. I have not seen Season of Light, which is the World of Color show.
Yeah. Well, the first Disneyland After Dark Grad Night reunion event took place on June 23rd, with another taking place the night that we're recording this episode, and the final night on the 30th of June. The Disney Food Blog was on hand to report about the event. Guests could mix into the park starting at 5 p.m., with the event starting at 8 p.m. A guide map, lanyard, and wristband were provided. Entertainment included a pep rally with Mickey's Glee Club and Goofy's dance team, with music from the All-American College Band, lots of characters and photo ops in their graduation attire, and of course, there was food.
So looking through the pictures that I've seen of other people's experiences of this, the thing that I got the most excited about, which is so, I don't know, silly? It's so silly, I was going to say Goofy, but the first character that I was going to point out was Max from a Goofy movie. The thing that I got that was the most exciting and like, hey, like that would have been fun, was the characters. So yes, Max from a Goofy movie was there, and he was even in his Powerline outfit.
Oh, sure.
Not just like his normal street clothes Max version. It was the Powerline outfit. But they even had, oh, where was it? Here. They even had Professor Ludwig von Drake was there as well. So there was
teachers, so that's good.
I know, but have you ever seen Professor Ludwig von Drake before in the parks? Some of these other things were, I don't want to say repeats, but things I had seen other places. Like, people got very excited that Roz from Monsters, Inc. made an appearance. However, I feel like I remember her from the Pixar Play Parade.
This is a repainted version of that same.
Yep. I feel like she was in the Pixar Play Parade in that outfit or similar outfit. And same with Sully in his like Letterman jacket that I think that was from
Monsters
the Pixar.
University.
Yep. The Pixar Play Parade, as well as the backdrop that was behind him, too. I think that was actually one of the floats.
Can we talk about this monstrosity? So one of the food options was a cheeseburger.
I see what you did there.
Mac burger from Smoke Jumpers. It's a cheeseburger that is drizzled in like a cheese sauce on top of fries. This thing looks... Okay, to be fair, I'm not a nacho cheese person. This thing looks terrible to me.
I also
don't like messy food, is a nightmare.
Yeah, I feel like this is you eat with a fork and knife type thing.
Well, I mean, I do generally eat hamburgers with the fork and knife now, but yes, judge me, that's fine. However,
you definitely
this
would need
cherry
to on this
cone vertible that was at the Cozy Cone Motel, it's vanilla soft serve with a cinnamon bread cone topped with warm cherries. That sounds amazing, and that'd be nice if they had that all the time.
Yeah.
Then there was this weird sriracha and bacon pizza slice from Pim Test Kitchen, which I don't like spicy. And then a colorful unicorn raspberry cheesecake ration from Terran Treats. This looked okay as well.
None of the food really excited me that much.
This ice cream cone thing. Yeah. I'm not really a big cherry person, but I would do the soft serve vanilla with a cinnamon bread cone. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. None of these things really stood out to me like need to have, or if I was there, it was definitely on my list to try. But other people were excited about them, so that's always good.
Apparently, I'm the only we're streaming this into our Discord chat, the recording of this episode, and I posted a picture of this cheeseburger, and people seem to want to like it. So I'm just in the minority tonight.
I said I wasn't interested.
Oh, well, you weren't, but other people other than you and I. Do you not like cheese sauce, or...?
I can take it or leave it.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not a super fan, but I'm also not a super not fan.
Okay.
Well, as we announced in a previous episode, the All-American College Band has returned to Disneyland. The band is made up of college students from across America and is celebrating its 50th year. The band can be seen on Main Street daily, with no specific times posted in the app or online as of the recording.
I saw some videos of this today because I love marching bands, and these guys did... These folks did an amazing job. There was a couple videos I watched. There was one, they were at the Main Street train station, and there was one that they were in front of the castle, and they did We Don't Talk About Bruno. I don't know why I've blanked on the name
I
of the song.
Know.
But We Don't Talk About Bruno, they played, and some other things. And I thought they sounded great, and they had high energy, which is always fun.
Yeah. Yep.
A popular place to get food has rejoined the online reservation system again. The Blue Bayou is now accepting reservations online and is not walk-up only anymore. The Fantasmic Dining Package has also returned to the location. When you get to your table, inform the server that you would like the Fantasmic Dining option, and you will get a reserved seat for Fantasmic, a salad, entree, and dessert, and drink from the regular menu or from a dining package only menu. You can kind of pick. The cost of the package is $89 per adult, so it did go up in price.
It did. I I'm hoping that the just let your server know when you get there portion is temporary and that you can actually reserve the dining package. Because to me, with the price point on this, the whole reason, one of the main reasons that I would be eating at the Blue Bayou is to experience the Fantasmic dining package. Mm-hmm. So I would want to lock in and make sure that I get the dining package. I wouldn't want to go and find out when I got there if I could do the dining package or not, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So hopefully that's temporary and that it will go back to being able to reserve the dining package specifically. But yeah, I'm excited about this. I've seen some photos online of the dessert. I don't know why, but the Fantasmic dining package themed desserts, just always so fun. They do creative, fun things. And of course, there's a new themed dessert again this year. I don't even remember how to describe it. It's like Mickey on like the mountain, like
fire coming up. Yep, that looks
and like
cool.
Doing the like in the beginning with the water where he's like you know, playing with making the fountains go.
Yeah,
that's what it reminds me of. So yes, a newly designed Fantasmic dessert.
I feel like one of these times we should try the Hungry Bear because I feel like a lot of people are really talking about.
You know,
about it.
I want to try the Hungry. I want to try all of them at some point. I think it'd be fun to do. A comparison between Hungry Bear, because Hungry Bear is the most casual, mm-hmm. and then you've got River Bell, and then of course Blue Bayou is the premium.
I'm just worried about River Bell because there's the times you can stay and sit at your seat, and I just wonder about what the view is like from there.
I don't know. See, we'll have to check it out. Over in Avengers Campus, some more dining changes have occurred. The area of PIM Test Kitchen has reopened with covered seating, and the previous covered seating area has been removed that was over by Avengers Headquarters. Thankfully, that was just temporary. The new umbrellas aren't anchored into the ground, so no word on what took so long to get this open back up.
I did look at some pictures, and I don't know if it was there before, but there is this pole, for lack of a better word. It's kind of like a square beam that looks like that they had put in that goes to about the height of the umbrellas, but nothing is attached to it. It's just a metal pole. So I'm almost wondering if there is a plan to do a more permanent shade structure, but maybe they didn't get the parts in and they're like, you know what, let's just move the stuff over and we'll get it when we get it.
Well, and the big thing would be to get that, you know, that support thing in. And you'd only be able to do that with moving all the tables out of the way. So then that could be. We will keep our eyes and ears open and let you know if there's any different or any more progress.
Jill, what I saw in all of the documentation that Disney put out was that it was for hotel restaurant dining reservations only. That's why we didn't talk about it in the mm-hmm. show this week, because I didn't think it was as exciting to have preferred reservations for just the hotel dining. I feel like they might expand it in the future to back to the parks, because I guess they did something like that before. But well, this morning, we woke up and said, what a glorious morning. Makes me sick. Then Disney Plus released the teaser trailer and poster for the upcoming Hocus Pocus 2 movie coming to Disney Plus on September 30th. That is right. The Sanderson sisters are back in a new movie. The teaser trailer looks great, as do the bumbling sisters.
I get why they did a September... end of September release, but I'm really sad that we have to wait all the way till September. I feel like a July release would have been perfect since the original released in July.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly
still
enough.
Weird.
But I was telling Tag before we started recording that I knew I was excited about Hocus Pocus 2 because Hocus Pocus 2. But I had no clue, no idea what the storyline was going to be. All I knew was that the Sanderson sisters were returning, that the original actresses were all signed up to come back. So that was like my excitement. That's all I cared about because I was just so ready for more Sanderson sisters. So to see this, to see the preview of it, like, made me excited on a whole different level because now we're seeing a little bit of what the story is. It was a perfect teaser trailer. Gives you a little taste, but you still have no idea what's going to go on and what's going to happen. But the thing I told Tag that I'm the most happy about was that it's not a move as much as I love the Sanderson sisters. I'm very happy that it's not a movie that is only centered around Winifred, Sarah, and Mary. I'm glad that we're getting new characters and that there's a storyline that the Sanderson sisters are interacting with, much like the first movie.
Right. Yeah. I like this too. First of all, I know how much Bette Midler wanted to do
Oh my gosh, yes.
Winifred Sanderson again. And seeing in this trailer, they're not in it for very long or anything like that. It's towards the end.
It was a true teaser.
Yes, but she looked like she was having... And so did Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker. They all look like they have been waiting for this day for years and years, and it's finally come, and they got to play some of their favorite characters
they
again.
Looked like they, like, hadn't missed a beat. Like, they were just, boom, right back in it.
I mean, I would almost say that they were like, oh, yes, we'll be there, and those were costumes from their closet. Yeah, like, we're like, ready.
Here we are.
So we I'm very so excited. I know it's not Disneyland necessarily news, but we love the Sanderson sisters, so boom.
I'm still wondering if with Oogie Boogie Bash, if we're going to get some sort of something
that
extra hocus-pocus-wise to promote the new movie.
More than just the book?
You know what it could be?
Uh-oh.
I mean, for sure, wow. I think this is what it's going to be. So every year, the Treat Bags is promoing something so that's coming out. I think the Treat Bags will be promoing Hocus Pocus 2, yeah. For sure. But I'm hoping we get a treat trail with them.
I mean, that would be amazing.
It would be the, like, everybody would just be standing in that treat trail.
Probably.
All night. Yep. It'd be like the new Agatha treat trail.
Yep. Okay, here we go. Are you ready for this, Teresa? Oh,
this makes me happy and sad at the same time.
Have you ever wanted to visit all 12 Disney theme parks around the world?
Oh, 100%.
Well, Disney created a trip to do so costing $110,000. There were 75 open spots, and it sold out in pre-sales. The trip was through Adventures by Disney, and it included a 24-day trip starting at Disneyland, then heading to Disney World, Paris, Shanghai, Hong Kong, then Tokyo Disney parks, with additional stops including the Taj Mahal, the Eiffel Tower, and the Egyptian pyramids. In total, 31 sites and 68 meals, along with a private jet to get you around, was included.
If I had all the money, if I had money, boom, I would have been there. And by the way, who are these people that got access to this pre-sale? Like, How do you get on that list? I wouldn't be able to afford that list, but like...
I think it was people who had done Adventures by Disney stuff before or whatever.
That's probably a good point. Yeah. So not only is this incredible that it's all of the Disney parks, but then they throw in other places too, like you mentioned, Taj Mahal, Eiffel Tower, Egyptian pyramids. So you get to... I mean, so not only is it Disney, you're also getting to experience other things. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. If I could have... I would have been one of the first people to have signed up.
So, obviously, the reason that you pay a lot of money for this is because it's all taken care of and planned, and it's going to be that Disney-level quality all the way around. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about Disney bubble. This would probably be in the bubble the whole time. I did see a YouTube video a couple weeks ago when this was first announced, and somebody did the math and said, okay, if we got these tickets for all these different things and we did planes and the level of hotels that you're going to be staying in and everything, what would it cost out of pocket? They worked out that even in, like, peak period, that you would save $60,000 if you just did it yourself.
Oh, I thought you meant with this.
No.
You I got all excited for the wrong reason.
$60,000 if you did it yourself.
Man.
But you're paying for the fact that they've done it. You got a private jet.
Yeah, I was going to say private jet. That's...
I think they might have worked in, like, chartering flights in between things for the thing. But still. I don't know. It was... So with these, at each of the resorts, you get to stay in places. So like Disneyland, they put you up in the Grand Californian. At Disney World, they put you up in the Grand Floridian for the night. In Paris, they put you at the Disneyland Hotel in Paris. Shanghai, same thing. So all the Disney parks around the world, they put you in like their premium resort or whatever. And then some of these other things, like the Taj Mahal and the Egyptian pyramids and stuff, they put you in some really fancy accommodations there as well. So, wow.
Yeah. Incredible. I can't...
They'll definitely do this again, though, because it's sold out in pre-sales.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we'll ever get to, you know... Maybe people will be documenting and we can live vicariously through them as they go on this incredible 24-month excursion that's all Disney all the time, but man, cool.
No, I'm trying to think, like, if you got a loan...
If you got a loan.
If we wanted to pay, let's say, $400 a month, 275 months with no interest. So about 23 years to pay that off. That's ridiculous.
Dang.
Anyway, with the United States Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe versus Wade, the Walt Disney Company is now offering to cover travel costs for employees seeking an abortion if it is not available in the state the employee currently lives in. A Disney spokesperson said that, quote, the company is committed to providing comprehensive access to quality health care, including family planning and reproductive care, end quote.
So we try not to get political on this show, because of course Disney is our happy place and it's your happy place, but we did feel that we needed to include this because this is something that's affecting the whole nation right now. And I, for one, am just very proud and very happy to be a Disney supporter. And I'm very, very happy to see that Disney came up with this plan, put this out for all of their cast members and all of their employees same day of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So I think this is really awesome, really great of them. Thank you, Disney, for your commitment to supporting your cast members and being able to help them with this.
I also want to say I'm very happy about this, but it's kind of interesting because I feel like Disney has been all over the place with their decisions that they've made recently. So with the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, they kind of flip-flopped on that, and that didn't turn out well for them, and then they kind of tried to recuperate from that. There's the whole thing about moving Imagineering to Florida, which I guess is on hold now for a couple years or whatever. So the fact that they came out and they're doing the right thing here, it's like, okay, we're getting back on track, Disney. You're making good decisions about things. So for those people that work for the Walt Disney Company that need this type of access, I'm glad that they're able to get it and not be encumbered by having to finance themselves traveling elsewhere if they have to. I will also say that in California, this isn't a problem. And I feel like a lot of their staff is in California. So I feel like there's just a few people who I think Florida might have a thing now, too. And so, and of course, they're Disney. So they have people all over the United States in all, you know, in different places. So, but that's good.
Psst, avast there. Here come seeking questions and long lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight. With both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome to Trivia Land. How are we feeling tonight?
I don't know. You've already said
I'm
that it's going to be...
I'm kind of excited, which is probably not a good thing.
Oh, the listeners sent some good ones. This is I'm excited. I'm very excited. This is going to be a good one tonight.
I'm going to say that anytime that you say the listeners are doing some good ones, I do not have high hopes.
See, we don't do well with the quote unquote good listener questions, the ones that are like super tricky, but I enjoy them because A, they make you think, but B, I always learn something new.
Sure. All right. True. Well, let's see what we've got this week.
Let's learn something new. Your first listener submitted question from listener Chris Y. How many of the carousel horses can you name?
Oh, one.
Jingles.
Jingles. I know they all have names, but yeah.
They all have names.
They all have names. Mm. Jingles is the only one I can name,
horse
and
one,
I know that they
two,
all have names.
Horse three, horse four.
All I can think of this is, I'm just
Need
in a
on.
Bad, bad place. Dasher, Dancer, Prince,
I was thinking
it.
That, too.
That's all I got, which is so wrong. They are not
Maybe for Christmas
the
they'll do
names.
A holiday overlay of the carousel.
Maybe.
All right. Yeah. So we've got Jingles, Horse 1, Horse 2, Horse 3, Horse 4, Dasher, Dancer,
tame.
Prancer, Vixen. Is that your final answer?
Yes. I said that they all have names. I that's my
so
Jingles
that's your final answers?
They all have names, yes.
Okay. Your second question from listener Lisa K. What are the names of the Glee Club birds in the Tiki Room?
Oh, boy.
I feel like this one might be a repeat question.
Hello, Colette.
Quite a while back.
Hello, Colette.
Colette. Suzette.
Alamini.
Hang
Gigi.
Hang on. Where's Rosita? Okay. Colette. Suzette. Oh, Fifi. Mimi.
Gigi.
Mimi.
Alamini?
G.
I don't know how you'd spell that.
G. Alamini. Ooh. Sal Amini or Alamini? I don't know that one.
I don't
one.
Know. Alamini? Say.
I don't know if Rosita counts, but we're going to say her too.
How many are there? Seven?
Well, we've got six. Seven if you include Rosita.
Because there's two on each of the things.
Six would make sense then.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's.
Yeah. Mm. Let's just go with that.
We're just going to go with it, yeah.
Did you get all that, Vern?
I got Colette, Suzette, Gigi, Fifi, Mimi, and Alamini.
There
I
was
think
no Mimi.
I think it's, yeah, Gigi, Fifi, Mimi.
Oh, maybe.
I think maybe it's You know what that is? He says, "Hello, Mimi," and you thought it was another name. We're crossing that out. I don't think Alamimi is that one, because they're all little.
Oh, Mimi is probably right then.
Colette, Suzette. Is there like a Josephine?
Josephine. You're right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he says, "Hello, Mimi."
Oh, maybe.
And then you thought it was another name.
We're
going
to have to listen to this now later.
Oh, boy. We're on fire tonight.
So you're saying Colette, Suzette, Gigi, Fifi, Mimi, and Josephine.
Yep.
That's your final answer?
Has anyone seen
And whatever happened to Rosita.
Oh, yeah, whatever happened to Rosita.
But I don't think that counts in your question, perhaps.
Okay. Your third regular round question from listener Ryan J. In the Disneyland Hotel, the outdoor sign on the restaurant Goofy's Kitchen is shaped like a giant plate and cutlery set. If you walk around to the back of that sign, you will see that the designers put a China mark on the back of the plate, just like a real plate would have.
Of course they did.
What is the name of the kitchenware line stamped on the back of that plate?
Yeah, nope.
And I can confirm this because I noticed it on my morning run when we were at Disneyland this past time.
Nope.
Stumped. Acme.
Acme?
It's probably something fancy. Dang. Like, I'm trying to think, you know, does it go along with, like, Goofy? Or just Disney in general? Yeah, I'm stumped. My only random guess would be Acme, but I feel like the wrong studio.
So a random guess of Acme, is that your final answer?
Yep. I'm stumped.
And stumped. All right.
Yes.
And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Lee S. When was the first grad night at Disneyland? Need the year, not the specific date. And if you're even within 5 years, I'll give it to you.
1976, for some reason, pops out at me, but I don't think that's right.
I was going to say 71, which is weird that that's 5 years away from me. I'm going to say 71. And you're saying 1976?
76.
I feel like a failure, because they had all those fun photo ops at grad night, and they had like the different decades. Dang. Okay.
76 and 71.
1976 and 1971, final answers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And your bonus question related to the last question from Lee S., when was the first grad night at Disney California Adventure?
Ooh. Okay, so...
don't need the specific date, within 5 years.
Okay, 2018 is what I'm going to say, because I know it was in DCA for sure in 2018. I don't think it had moved over much sooner than that, though. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Within 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you 5 years, Grace.
I'll say 2013 to be about 5 years from you.
All right, so we got 2013 and 2018 final answers.
Mm-hmm. Final.
All righty. Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? How do you think Tag and Teresa did? Stick around until after the discussion topic, and we'll all find out together.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are continuing on with our part two of our interview with Kavehi, who had a VIP tour. She's going to talk more about her side of things with travel and leisure and stuff like that. Also, if you want to hear even more from Kavehi, if you are a official weekly tier on our Patreon, and if you are an annual pass holder level or above, so starting at $5 a month, you can get access to the bonus episode for June, which was even more talking with Kavehi. Very, very interesting. Definitely go check that out if you're a Patreon supporter. Patreon.com/DLWeekly. And you can get that. It just went up last week. So was there anything on the tour that, other than like that specific kind of thing, was there anything that surprised you or you felt, even though you were paying so much money per hour, that you felt just really was above and beyond and surprised you about the whole experience?
I mean, the level of service, the level of, we were focused on her and she was focused on us and making the very best experience. Unfortunately, she has no control over rides breaking down.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, you know, like when we're on our phones, like, oh, it broke down. Now what are we going to do? I mean, she had a plan B like so instantly. And it ended up three rides, I think, that were on our list were either like Monsters, Inc. was down obviously Radiator Springs, that was that was closed. And Rise broke down and then came back. So we had to backtrack to get back to Rise. And we understood that's the nature of the theme park. But at the end of the day, she said, I'm going to give you multi-attraction experience passes for the next few days during your visit. And that was a game changer, because with those three passes that we could use on those other days, we ended up did not buy a Genie Plus, other than Lightning Lane for Radiator Springs, which came back up a few days later. So we did not, that was amazing. It was really a true gift for us, and something I was not expecting, because I just expected that ride breakdowns are just a part of what we get now when we go to Disneyland. But again, I really felt like she only had one focus, and that was us. And we were like traveling in this bubble for 10 miles for 7 hours.
That's just incredible. The things that have stuck out to me the most is the fact that you had your own bubble within the Disney bubble. And then also the fact that you didn't have to touch your phone. Like, that in and of itself is like huge now.
It was, Teresa. I absolutely agree. Yeah. Because the rest of the days, we're like, oh, my God, we're so spoiled. Like,
wait a minute.
You know, I got tired of checking. I was asking my kids to do it.
Yeah.
That part of it, I think, was really worth it. Mm-hmm. It was really worth it. Just seeing people, this is what really, truly bugs me, is people stop in the middle of walkways. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, where am I? And it just drives me bonkers. But with the guide in front of us, we didn't see any of that. And, other than at the Lightning, when you scan your tickets at Lightning Lane. Mm-hmm. But we didn't see those, because she was just navigating through that park. And we were with blinders. We truly
That's
were.
Crazy.
That's amazing.
That's got to be a skill. Like, I want to learn how to go through the crowds like that, because I feel like if you learn that skill, all of your park visits would be amazing, because we have that all the time. You get behind somebody, it's like a whole row of people walking slow, or they stop.
VIP tour guides are like, they're professional park goers.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. My husband, all his photos are of me and it was the guide, and then me, and then he was kind of right behind me. So he has tons of photos of the two of us in the back, just kind of walking. But again, we didn't have to do any navigation through the crowd. And so it doesn't necessarily sound like $4,200 magic, but when you're in it, it's really quite a very different experience.
I feel like there's probably a intangible thing that comes with being led around, and just all
not
of that
having to make a decision.
Yeah, all of the worries. Oh, like, you just tell them what you want, and then your day just unfolds.
Poof. Yeah, poof, there.
Absolutely. And you don't have to worry about it.
So, how many attractions, since that was your focus, were you able to get in during your 7 hour window with the tour guide?
So our request was 16. We had 16 on our list, and we got 19 done.
Oh wow!
Wow,
that's a lot. Yeah, and then I counted like the other days. I had kind of logged what we had done the other days. We weren't close to that. You just mark it 21. You could say 21 if you count the parade and the fireworks.
Sure.
Mm. Right? Because we got that priority seating, and they said to stay in your seats. And there's like a 10-minute, 15-minute between the parade and the fireworks. So that was magical.
Where is the VIP viewing area for the parade and fireworks?
You haven't seen it?
No, I just want to make sure that I'm thinking it's the right place.
Yeah. So,
and our guests may not, and our listeners may not know.
So I don't know what it's like for the second showing. Yeah. So in the hub, if you're looking at the castle, it's to the right. So the first parade comes from Fantasyland down to Main Street. So it comes down, past the Matterhorn, and then it goes down towards Tomorrowland. So it's right at that turn. And it's interesting because there are two sections of seats. And we were a little bit late because we left the park to get warm, because for Hawaiians. 845 California, 70, 65 degree weather is a bit cold. Mm-hmm.
So like right here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So there are two sections. The section that was already full actually faces the castle. And the other section that we had was just kind of facing the street. And so that's where we were. So we
that might be the place to go,
you
though.
Know, though, I feel like you have the good, like, parade and fireworks spot. The other spot's great for the fireworks.
Correct.
Maybe not so great for the parade.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. It was a blessing. It was wonderful.
And to just walk up and be like, oh, this seat's for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and it's benches, too, isn't it? It's not even like you have to sit on the ground.
Nope.
They're like, right. And there are actual seats that they brought out in that first section. In the second section, we had about four seats, and then benches were alongside. And it's quite great because there are about, I want to say, about four plaids kind of working the area. Because, of course, people want to kind of come into the ropes, and they're always trying to get people out of the ropes.
Yeah, or so, stand in front of the ropes or sit on that curb right in front of the ropes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think people who listen to the podcast know that this next question is definitely a tank question. Teresa is definitely excited with the whole experience. I'm more like the technical person. So I'm just curious. I'm sure that you didn't notice, but I have to ask. So with 7 hours with this plaid, when did she use the bathroom or take a break or have some food or anything? I assume it's probably she puts you into an attraction and then takes care of that stuff. But I was just curious, what that process was, or did she explain that to you or what?
It was magical, Peg. I have no idea when she used the restroom, because she didn't use the restroom when I went to the restroom. I offered her every time we got a snack. So we got churros and popcorn and water and soft drinks, just at the outdoor vending cart. So we'd
like you do.
Really, yeah.
Do you get a lightning lane for those with your VIP tour guide?
No, but we went to the ones that didn't have lime.
Perfect.
And I offered, can I buy you a bottled water? She said, no, I have one here, but I never saw her drink it. So it is magical. I don't know. She must have had a really big breakfast like we did. She did not stop for lunch either, because we didn't. She didn't stop.
Wow.
No, bless her heart.
And kind of a follow-up to that, we'll get to the end of it here in a second, but I'm sure Teresa has more questions. But I just have one more technical thing. So is it possible? I'm sure it's not, but I just want to cover it. So you do the 7 hours. Is it possible during the tour, like let's say you're on hour six and you're like, you know what? I want to pay for like four more hours of this. Is it possible to extend your tour with this person, or is it like you got to book it ahead of time and that's that?
I was told when I booked that you can, if you decide while you're on the tour that you want to extend, that you can extend.
Awesome.
Oh. Yes. They're like, yes, here, just swipe your card here. Okay, we'll continue.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. So was there anything, because again, you're ride focused. So was there anything with your ride experiences that you got to do or see that maybe you as the normal guest didn't get to do? Jump in the line. It wasn't like, because sometimes, so we have friends that work different attractions. We have cast member friends. And they talk about how sometimes all of a sudden, like the celebrity VIPs, they just kind of like pop out of like the background somewhere. They don't like go through the traditional queue at all. Sometimes there's like these secret entrances almost. So did you get to experience anything like that? Or was it just kind of just pop in front
lightning
of
lane everywhere. Super lightning lane.
Yeah,
super
we did not lane. We did not get access to any backstage. And gotcha. I think I had that conversation with her, and it's mostly from a security standpoint for celebrities that, you know, and some don't want to be, and some bring their own security, and there are others that are okay with being stopped. So I think that was part of it. So no, we did not experience any sort of backstage nothing backstage. sorry, Teresa, we never broke down anywhere. So
I like, can you. I pay extra to write space with the lights on, please?
You know what? You know what? I'll bet you if they would have stopped, I'll bet you she would just like appear next to their car and it would all be taken care of. It's what it seems like. She's a genie. Just poof.
I was like, did she put a GPS tracker on me? The whole cell phone thing just really sealed the deal for us.
That's yeah, that's incredible.
It really did. And I mean, imagine if I didn't have a tour guide and I did lose my phone, right? Which is completely plausible.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the hours that we would have spent trying to recover that phone.
Well, and the stress. Your stress would have been way through the roof because you would have felt more alone and like
I've lost park tickets before to, you know, and had to panic before the app and stuff, and that was a pain, you know. So yeah. I'm glad that that worked out for you.
Plus, yeah, it didn't, you know, it was a hiccup in your day instead of like the Grand Canyon.
So really when you get a VIP tour experience, what you're really getting is peace of mind and your day is just smooth. So I say a lot of times when we come back from Disneyland that sometimes I feel like I need a vacation from our vacation, kind of. I mean, we are working with the podcast. We do a lot of stuff. But I feel like a tour guide thing would just be the most relaxing, peaceful day at the park. And you just get to enjoy Disneyland. That any of those little things, walking through people, that's just a small annoyance. All of that just fades away, and you just have your dream, like the best Disneyland that Disneyland can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
That's amazing. Now I want to book one.
Yeah.
although I feel like if we did, we would never want to not have one, so it's kind of dangerous.
It absolutely is. And, you know, my husband and I have not talked about our next return, and we usually do, but I just think, like, how do you top that without spending, like, I didn't have to save up for another 5 years. And I don't want to wait that long to go back.
Right.
Right. And again, we kind of spoiled ourselves, like with World of Color. We did that our next park day, the dessert party. And we felt like our own little celebrities. And then we came crashing right after, you know, that we were like, oh, we got to go to the park the next day and we don't have much of anything left.
Maybe you do it on your last park day. So you leave on that high.
I don't know.
Instead of doing it like the first day where you're like, man.
Yeah, but you're like full of energy that first day.
Sure.
So they were able to power walk those 10 miles and not even blink. Whereas if it's the end of your trip, you're like, oh, man. Okay. We can do this. My feet are tired, but we're still going to do this.
My kids lost steam the last day. So, yeah. Yeah. I think the first day is the best way to go.
So can you tell us a little bit more about, because, right, come on, you had, like, well, the VIP, the primo seats for the electrical parade, for the fireworks. Can you tell us what that was like to experience for you, since that was kind of a total surprise that you guys got to be in those coveted seats?
There were some tears in the beginning. There were some happy tears for sure. We took so much video. I think my husband videoed the entire parade. I was just taking pictures after pictures, and you could see everything. But I know, Teresa, you said this in a previous podcast that you want, like, what does it look like from the other side, right? So I only have one perspective. Well, from the front, straight on, and then from one side of it. But you could see the faces very clearly. The music, it's magic how the music moves along with the parade. Mm-hmm. But it's so immersive. I just felt like I had my own viewing window to this parade. I think it might be the first time I've ever done fireworks at Disneyland, actually, as an adult.
Yeah.
Because when my kids were young, we didn't really do a lot of nighttime park because we were just dead tired before nighttime entertainment. So kind of seeing those fireworks and the projections. So there are projections on the castle, but you could see the Matterhorn.
That's awesome.
The Nemo part was, that was perfect. It was perfect.
Yeah. Nemo flying through the air was, yeah, that's that only at a Disney park do you see something like that.
Yeah.
Well, and like you probably had a great view of like Tinkerbell too. So like usually, right, when we get to see Tinkerbell, it's like, oh yes, I can tell that's Tinkerbell because she's wearing green and she's flying through the air. You could probably practically see her facial expressions from where you were sitting.
Yes.
That's awesome. I don't think I've ever I've been close to where that seating area is when the 50th anniversary fireworks happened because I like made a beeline to get right there. Because I don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but the very first time that I was engaged to be married, which I've only been engaged to be married twice, just it's not that bad. But I proposed after the 50th anniversary fireworks in that spot. So I wanted to be right there. Mm-hmm. And it was a great place to watch the fireworks from. So, I mean, I'm sure that my memory is tainted because it was such a memory. But so I want to end. I want to know how the tour kind of ends and then we can talk about. Like your opinions of it from a professional standpoint and all that stuff. So how do they kind of wrap you up at the end? Like when your last like hour, let's say, like, you know that it's coming to an end. Is that like, how is that wind down process?
Oh, it didn't really wind down. It, we were at DCA. We had done Guardians, or my husband and my son did Guardians. Two of us just kind of didn't have the stomach for Guardians, so we kind of stood at the exit and we were like, well, we have about 40 minutes, but we've exhausted our list. So she said, you guys want to go back to Disneyland? And we said, sure, but we didn't really, you know, we had done all the e-ticket stuff. We blasted through Fantasyland. We did four rides and we were, it was like 5:45 or 5:50, and she's like, yeah, you still have time. Okay. So we did, I think we did Toad, Snow White, Alice, and then it was about 5:50, and she's like, we can have one more. We can do one more. So we ran over to Buzz. We didn't run, of course, but we walked quickly over to Buzz Astro Blasters, and that, you know, we were out of the queue at about 5:57, and perfect timing. She walked us to Carnation Cafe. She checked us in. We waited a few minutes for our table. She waited with us. And it was like, hey, thank you so much. It was very unceremonious. It was thank you so much. And I wanted to get another picture with her. We got a selfie with her. I did ask through instant messaging on Instagram. I asked Chris from Provost Park asked about tipping because I know in general cast member you don't have to tip cast members, but they said they do accept, the guides do accept tips. So I had prepared a tip for her and I had it in an envelope and I just gave it to her, again very unceremonious, and thanked her. The one regret that I have is she wore a mask and we wore masks. So we have a very high COVID case in Hawaii, and a lot of people we know are coming back from their travels and coming back with COVID. Mm. So we were super diligent. But because of that, I never got to see her face. I never got to see her beautiful smile. I knew it was there.
Yeah.
Saw it in the eyes all day. But that was my one regret, that I really didn't, I wouldn't know what she looked like without a mask on.
Did she, was that part of your request for the tour that she wore the mask, or did she just do it because that's what she wanted to do, or?
That's, it was her preference, because we had talked about it on the monorail. I had said, you know, I had told her that if it was okay with her, you know, that we'd be wearing masks, but we would be taking them off for pictures if we were taking pictures, and she was cool with it, but she did have it on from the start. You said she's been wearing them since the park reopened.
Well, that's good to know.
I'm just imagining Hawaii and her family going and seeing someone in plaid and like, are you, I'm sorry, can you just cover the bottom half? Did we go on a tour with you? Yes, I recognize your eyes.
Yeah. So she dropped us off at Carnation Cafe, you know, right before we got seated, we said our goodbyes and I thanked her. It was a great day.
That must have been an emotional experience, too, because this person just gave you this amazing experience. And, of course, like, you know, it's her job, but at the same time, like, she probably takes a lot of pride in that. And you know, it's another day of, like, that was really great. And it sounds like you guys were amazing. I'm sure that there are times with VIP folks that are probably not the easiest people to wander around the park, but it sounds like she probably had a really great time with you guys.
I appreciate that you also talked about the tipping aspect of it, because that's maybe not something, because, right, you don't, there's some situations where people aren't able to accept tips. Of course, if you're at Disneyland and you're at like a table service restaurant, of course, you know, tipping is prohibited there, but like, or not prohibited, tipping is allowed, encouraged there. But if you say, like, I wouldn't think maybe
you had a great Jungle Cruise skipper.
If you're a Jungle Cruise skipper, I don't know if you can tip a Jungle Cruise skipper.
I don't think you can.
Same thing with like the tour guide. That to me, that's kind of like a you know, kind of this like very gray area. So I'm glad that you reached out to Chris and that he was able to clarify and let you know that. And thank you for letting us and all of the listeners know that too, because I think that's really important.
Yeah, and I was really hesitant to ask because I kind of felt like, Kavehi, if you have to ask if you can tip, probably means that you should not be booking such a premium product. Because, you know, 18-20% of $4,200 is no, it, you know, it's no small, it's not pocket change as well.
Right.
But I kind of felt really bad for asking. But again, we were saving up for this. And I didn't want to be one of those guests that, oh, gosh. You know, she didn't tip. I don't know if everyone does.
I'm
sure they do, but I'm sure there are people who don't really, because it's, you know, in seeing the other tours in the days following, there were families wasting their time eating. I was like, wow, you're eating and you have to. A tour, you're wasting your time and money. But
well, I think you have a unique perspective, which I think is good, because I feel like there's probably a high percentage of people, and this I could be completely wrong, but my thought process with it is there's probably a high percentage of VIP tour guests that have a lot of money, and it doesn't mean, like, spending $4,200 for 7 hours is nothing to them, and they'd rather just not deal with with all the stuff. And then I think there's people like you and what I assume is like a lot of our listeners who they've thought about this. That's a lot of money. Is it going to be worth it? You know, how long do we have to save up for this? Disneyland itself is already pricey. So is it something, is it worth it to spend that extra? Like, am I going to get it my money's worth? And you know, because I feel like there's a lot of experiences in the parks like that, especially now. Genie Plus, paying for individual Lightning Lane access to attractions. You really got to think, I mean, when Teresa and I were there, we were talking about this, that, you know, if you're there with a family of four and you buy Genie Plus, that's $40 a person a day. That's a lot, or $40 a family a day. No, $80. Yeah. Sorry. $80 a family a day. That adds up really quick if you're there 3 or 4 days. And then if you do the individual lighting lanes, that adds even more onto it. So overall, I guess that was a long-winded way of me getting to the point of, for somebody who had to save and it took some effort to actually get the money together to pay for this, would you recommend to people that they do this? Is it worth it? What do you think, especially with your background, what do you think is the target audience that would really get the most out of this?
Right. So I think people like me who go every 2, 3, sometimes 4 years, but know the park. We've been going for a long time. Know the parks, but don't go as frequently. This is absolutely worth it. It's a different way of doing the park. You folks go frequently, right? Are you at like 6 times a year or so?
I wish.
We're four.
We're trying to do four.
Yep.
Okay. You know, yeah, if you can save up. It's bucket list sort of experience. It really is. But I grapple with, well, what's next, right? Because you've now put yourself, you bought the premium of premium products that they have to offer, right? And it has given you such a different view and different experience, can you go back? I don't know. I probably would spend it again, actually. I would. I definitely would. I don't know if I do it the next time or, you know, in 2 years or in 4 years, but I probably would consider it. You know, people who go to the parks, you know, once a week, twice a week, that would never probably be worth it for them. But for your listeners, who I assume there are a number of them just like us who don't go as much as we want, I think it would definitely be worth it to try and save up to do it. I think Disney, we all know, we got to give them a lot of credit because they know if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. And I think they are offering and starting to offer so many different premium products, and they're testing the waters, obviously, and people are paying. And so they will continue to do things like this for premium prices because their visitors will pay. And I have a whole, you know, why and who will pay for it. Oh, we could go talking all about that as well. But yeah, I think that people like me are their target audience, or like you said, tag those, they have that disposable income. Mm-hmm. It just makes it easier. And I didn't, I should have asked our guide, sort of their demographics. I didn't get a chance to.
Our final question is, if you could work at Disneyland, what would you do? Sky's the limit.
She looks excited about this one.
Oh, I don't want to lose the magic, so I don't want to work at, I don't want to work at Pirates. Because I just might lose the magic. I would love, oh gosh, I will not work in food and beverage. I've been there, done that. A character host, not the friend
yeah.
of,
yeah, yeah,
the friend with,
yeah,
the mm-hmm. character. That does seem lovely, and I know they have to be very friendly about cutting people off.
Yes,
I can do that as well. I can be friendly and stern. But yeah, that sounds fun because everyone loves to meet characters.
Mm-hmm. I think the cool thing about that is you get to be like the fly on the wall. Like, you're not the one that's having to like be putting out all the energy and like making the experience magical. You just get to sit there and
facilitate,
but you also get to just like enjoy the interactions. And so you get to like watch all of these different kids meet all of their favorite characters for the first time. You just get to like be in the glow of that magic versus yeah. having to be the one provide, you know. I think it'd be stressful to be best friends with a character
mm-hmm.
because, right. you know, like, man, right.
I'm super
core
curious.
Memories.
I'm curious as the conversations that they have right before they get to
oh, sure.
people, because you mm-hmm. know they have conversations.
Yeah.
Like, what
yeah.
are they talking about? And are they, like, are you truly talking to Captain Jack? She probably was. Like, I had my doubts, but I think Captain Jack was entertaining his character host before they kind of got into earshot of the guest. But it's pretty fascinating, mm-hmm. especially the face characters. Seem to
oh,
be.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kaveh, thank you so much for bringing your expertise and talking about all of this stuff. I think we learned everybody. First of all, the tour stuff, amazing. But also your expertise in the field to talk about kind of
yeah.
the different lens to like look through it. Because I feel
the
like a lot of people
lens.
Don't look at it that way. They just look at it as their happy place. And
absolutely.
Like Teresa was saying, it is a business. We forget about that sometimes.
I don't want to always remember that, but I need to remind myself that.
Right, right. Especially when times get weird or hard yeah. or anything like that, like they yeah. have been sometimes. So, but thank you for spending all this time with us. And I'm sure mm-hmm. our listeners are just going to love hearing about your experience. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a great time. Mahalo. Thank you.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out just how we did tonight. How do you think you did tonight, Tag and Teresa?
Better than I thought we maybe were going to do, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from The first and third questions, I'm feeling pretty okay.
Feeling you got the confidence?
Yeah.
All right.
Somewhat. Somewhat.
So your answer of stumped that you're not feeling good about that one?
Right. No.
That was, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into it then. Your first regular round question from listener Chris Y. How many of the carousel horses can you name? Your answers were
Jingles.
Horse 1, Horse 2,
no.
Horse 3, Horse 4, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and Vixen. The correct answer I was looking for was Alma, Arabian Knight, Avanti, Baby, Belle, Bruce, Centurion, Checkers, Checkers Jr., Champion, Codis, Cinch, Copper, Crown Jewel, Crusader, Dagger, Daisy, Dante, Duke, Eagle Scout, Eleanor, Elroy, Emerald, Fern, Flourish, Frenchie, Galaxy, Gypsy, Hal, Ivy, Jester, Jingles, Kaleidoscope, King Richard, Lance, Leprechaun, Lucifer's Rose, Lunatic, National Velvet, Patches, Pegasus, Penny, Queenie, Rally, Red Devil, Renaissance, Sapphire, Saxon, Screaming Eagle, Seabiscuit, Sir Lancelot, St. Patrick, Steamer, Tardan, Tassel, Testy Pad, Thistle, Tiny, Topaz, Tulip, Turbo, Eunice, and Valance.
Wow. Those names are all over the place.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Couldn't have even like.
Did you say something about Lucifer in there?
Yeah.
Yes, that was one of them.
Leprechaun was also one.
Okay. Sorry, I got distracted.
There was
by
also
Lucifer
a check. What was it? Checkers and Checkers Jr.
Yes, yep. Checkers and Checkers Jr.
Wow.
So for those of you at home, you might have to slow the podcast down to catch all those.
Learn something new. Or just check in the show notes because we do
there
have.
There is a PDF link.
Yep. Yep. There is a link to the trivia. Yep.
Well, there we go.
Your second question, submitted by listener Lisa K. What are the names of the Glee Club birds in the Tiki Room?
Yeah, I feel more confident with this.
The answer that you provided was Colette, Suzette, Gigi, Fifi, Mimi, and Josephine. The correct answer I was looking for was Colette, Suzette, Gigi, Fifi, Mimi, and Josephine.
Woo!
High five.
No, hello, Mimi. Yes. However you, whatever
I'm
going to
play
it
back in a minute and we'll figure this out.
I think he says hello.
We will,
I'm
will,
pretty
we
sure
will
he says hello
out.
Mimi.
Let's get through the rest.
Hello Mimi.
Your third regular round question submitted by listener Ryan J. In the Disneyland Hotel, the outdoor sign on the restaurant Goofy's Kitchen is shaped like a giant plate and cutlery set.
Oh, yeah.
If you walk around to the back of that sign, you will see that the designers put a China mark on the back of the plate, just like a real plate would have. What is the name of that kitchenware line stamped on the back of the plate? You said Stumped and Acmeware. The correct answer I was looking for was Goofyware.
Dang it. I thought doing something with Goofy was too obvious.
Shouldn't have thought that way.
Well, shouldn't have.
Gotta go with your gut, Teresa.
Especially when it comes to food and cutlery.
Oh, my goodness.
Ah, go with the gut. Food. Get it? But I'm ching. We need a rim shot effect for the podcast.
Oh,
no?
My goodness.
Okay. And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Lee S. When was the first grad night at Disneyland? And I gave you a grace of 5 years. Your answers were 1976 and 1971. The correct answer I was looking for was 1961.
Whoa.
Dang.
Wow. I would have thought the late 60s, but dang.
And the bonus question tonight, also from listener Lee S. When was the first grad night at Disney California Adventure? Giving you a grace period of 5 years again, your answers were 2013 and 2018. The correct answer that I was looking for was 2013.
Wow.
Did I get it right?
You got it
you
right on.
Did get it right on dig.
Hey, I got it right too because it's within 5 years.
But I was on the nose.
Yep.
Well, listeners, how do you feel about how they did? How do you feel about how you did listening at home or in your car or at work or wherever it is that you listen? If you think that you've got some great questions that you'd like to submit to us, we'd love for you to do that. Just send them in to trivia@dlweekly.net.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.